God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Yes, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
He is filled with compassion. Mercy is everlasting. God is good. God is good
all the time.
Sing,
oh give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Oh give thanks unto the Lord.
Oh, his mercy
endures forever. Oh give thanks unto the Lord.
You know his mercy
endures forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, his mercy endures forever. Oh, God is good all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, look at those wonderful kids back there. While Sister Greeley was doing announcements and stuff, I looked over. And, you know, the Bible says out of the mouth of babes, God has perfected praise. And I look over, and my older daughter is wrapping up books with tissue paper, giving them to my younger daughter. She's unwrapping it like it's a birthday present and getting all excited. And then Elizabeth would wrap something else and give it to her. And I thought, that's just like the Lord. He gives us the Holy Ghost. And we should get excited again when we feel the presence of God again. Amen. Amen. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Praise Amen. The Lord. I just had to tell you that real quick so I can remember it. Amen. That's just awesome. I wish I got excited every time I used the same thing just like it did the first time. Praise the Lord. Thank God for our kids. Kids, are you ready for Sunday school?
Yeah!
All right. Lead the charge, James. Junior camp. And are you ready for junior camp?
Yeah!
A couple of you weren't so excited, but that's all right. Oh, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Oh, God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
He is filled with compassion. And his mercy is everlasting. God is good. God is good.
All the time.
Oops. Pastor's lunch. Say that with me. Pastor's lunch. Amen. How many people have been to a pastor's lunch? Okay. How many people have not been to a pastor's lunch? And I don't think that hands are equal. Somebody's not raising their hand where they're supposed to. How many people have not been to a pastor's lunch? Okay. Well, if you have not been, I hope you'll come. Next Sunday, after church, in fact, I don't know, give us 10 minutes to say goodbye to the people, then we'll go to the fellowship hall, and it's not a fancy thing. we have a little light lunch, and it gives me a chance to talk about my background, this church's background, and the vision for us going forward. Amen. So it's an opportunity for those that are somewhat new to our church or don't know the details, that we would like everyone to know those things about our church. Amen. It's an important part of who we are, our heritage, our background, your pastor. You should know about me. We should know about the vision of where we believe this church is headed. Amen. So it's good stuff. Probably last about a half an hour. So next Sunday, the 23rd, is our pastor's lunch. I hope you'll come. You're very much welcome to bring someone with you. It's a great introduction to our church, and we'll feed you lunch. Praise the Lord. So that's next week. Turn with me in Scripture, 1 John chapter 3 is where I'd like to turn your attention. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And then I'm also going to go to Romans 8:24 as an opening portion of Scripture. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says this: Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. That's my hope. Amen. Verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope. Anybody have this hope? Amen. I got this hope. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. And also, Romans 8:24, just one more verse before I let you be seated. For we are saved by hope. Would you say those last three words with me? Saved by hope. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Amen. Saved by hope is my message. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I ask even now, Lord, that you would let your anointed word, Lord, just be made manifested in this house today. Anoint my words and my mouth and help me, God, to say that which is right before you. Help me, God, to be anointed of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and let there be words that you would put in me to say to this people. Lord, let this people, let me, let us together receive, Lord, of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Saved by hope. Amen. Now, if you've been around our church for a little while, even I think it was January of this year, I preached a message that was themed on hope. But the topic is almost inexhaustible. Amen. There is so much more. And as I was looking into this topic, there is so much that I left out. There's so much that I couldn't say. And even after I get done today, there is a great amount of hope in the Word of God. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Amen. But the world does not necessarily have the hope in Jesus Christ like we do. Amen. In fact, a person, I found this writing, a person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 seconds without hope. that was penned by Vincent Foster. I didn't know that name before, but Vincent was a close friend and deputy of President Clinton back years ago. And after rising with his friend, with President Clinton, to the pinnacle of world political power and prestige, this Vincent ran out of hope. And I'm glad the kids aren't in here, he shot himself in the head and committed suicide. If you run out of hope, things are desperate. We have to have hope. But my hope is not in my ability. My hope is not in the things of this world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that He will see me through. Amen. Hope, in fact, is a beautiful word. It should be a driving force and motivate us. Us that know Him, that know Jesus Christ. We that have the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse number 24, told the Roman church, we are saved by hope. I have hope that the Word of God is absolutely true. Amen. I know it is. I have a confident hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Without hope, there is no salvation in this life or in the life to come. Our mind should be saturated with hope. When there is hope, obstacles are transformed into possibilities. When there is hope, strength will come to jump the hurdles of life. Amen. We had a elements class this morning. Amen. And we were talking about the problems, the troubles that come in life, and the picture of the guy running the race and jumping over the hurdle came to my mind. You know, God gives us strength to just in stride keep going. You know, those hurdles didn't even slow that guy down. Praise the Lord, seems like. When there is hope, life will be both exciting and challenging. Amen. I don't live a boring life. I live an exciting life. I live a great life. I live a wonderful life. And the good part hadn't even arrived yet. It gets better from here. Amen. It's good stuff. I have hope. When there is hope, you can keep smiling when the facts demand crying. Amen. I know God is going to see me through. Amen. You see, the church, the minister, the saint of God, we are dealers in hope. Amen. You should be spreading hope. Amen. By your faith, by your walk, by your testimony. We are dispensers of hope. If we dispense hope, then we will see new conversions, new people believing in Jesus Christ, new people believing your testimony, more people believing the Word of God. And those that are converted will stay in this hope. Amen. They'll get a hold of the hope of Christ Jesus. Amen. Hope is the greatest asset of the church. That's a quote from John Maxwell. John Maxwell is he's a leadership author and writer and teacher. He's got a lot of tapes and seminars and books and things. One of his tapes expounds in this manner. He wrote, hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens when the bitterness bites. Hope sings when the melody is gone. Hope believes when the evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope brings the victory when no one else is winning. Amen. I have hope. I have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hope kills depression. You see, depression has even been determined to be a mental illness, a sickness. It strangles initiative. It chokes creative motivation. It will murder the want to in you when you have depression. You see, I'm not a physician. I haven't studied very much medicine. But I've read that the top layer of your brain, just below your skull, is called the cerebral cortex. This layer of the brain is no thicker, perhaps, than the sole of your shoe. It's very thin. Yet, it is here where most of the brain researchers have focused their attention. This gray matter, it's called, inside the skull, houses billions of nerve cells and connections there. It's a miracle from God. Amen. Here, messages are received which affect our conscious behavior. Here, in that cerebral cortex, it receives the ups and the downs of life. And it's where our brain sorts it out. Depression is a result of the brain being overpowered with negative messages. I tell you, the world is full of negative messages. There's bad, you don't even have to go look for bad news. They'll bring it to you. Delivered right to your door. Bad news is everywhere. Our brain is bombarded with bad news. The mind's switchboard is swamped with so many bad things. Behavior becomes dark and threatening. The cerebral cortex gradually programs itself to brood. My wife would say to pout. I'm guilty. There's times I have done that. It's losing the battle of hope when that happens. You know, we can program our mind to be better. Amen. Think about a hot, fresh cup of coffee. If you like coffee, now some of you don't like coffee. Coffee is an acquired taste, and I have acquired the taste. When I just get up in the morning and I think about a good cup of coffee, kind of, I want to go downstairs. I want to get out of bed. You know, it kind of motivates me a little bit. Amen. To me, it's a good thought. I like the taste of coffee, and to me, it's a positive influence. Not too much. Don't drink the whole pot. But I just, at that time, programmed my mind to think of something positive. It affected my cerebral cortex. Now it's time for the good news, and it's a challenging part also. The mind can turn around dark and dismal depression. Listen to me now. The mind can turn around that dark and dismal depression by funneling into the brain cerebral cortex messages of hope. Amen. We got to think on hope. I have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. We talked about struggles in our elements class today, and everybody has struggles, but I still know God is good. Even when I have a problem, I know God is good. While I'm laying in a hospital bed, I know my God is a healer. When I have hurt myself, I know God will take care of me. Amen. When the car breaks down, I know God is going to help me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right, Alyssa? She had a car problem. God's still good, even when you got a car problem. Amen. God's still good, even when troubles come. Amen. God's still good. I have hope. Amen. I'm not letting those depressing and downward motion things press my mind into being depressed. No, I have hope. Praise the Lord. I have hope. Praise the Lord. Behavior, when you think of hope, your behavior takes a 180 degree turn. Just completely the opposite direction. Peace and joy are a result. Amen. I can praise my way, amen, into a positive frame of mind. Amen. I can worship my way into feeling better. Praise the Lord. Praise and worship is it's a byproduct of having my hope. Praise the Lord. I think every Christian should try this. Start their day by quoting Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know that, oh, woe is me syndrome. I don't have the money and my car's broke down and my foot still hurts and I got an ache in my back. Oh, woe is me. Praise the Lord. God is still good. God is still good. Even when troubles in life come, God is still good. Praise the Lord. Think on these things. Amen. Try it. Write it down as homework assignment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Amen. Put some good thoughts in your cerebral cortex. Hope I even say that right. I'm not sure. If you've just programmed your brain, amen, with positive thoughts of hope, your brain is far more complex than any computer that's ever been made. It will affect your conscious behavior for the rest of the day. Amen. Believe me, thinking positive thoughts, having hope in God, will help you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse number 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Praise the Lord. If the church is to carry the message and the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we are on this earth, we are the church, then we that are a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then it's up to us to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. We got to live this life. We got to do it in Jesus Christ. We must have hope. Now, there are so many in our world that are lacking in hope, that have a deficit of hope. Perhaps they may be losing their hope. So how? By what means? By what method can that hope be restored? I propose the vehicle is hope. Humanity will only rejoice when the message received is one of hope. The garment changing process from heaviness to worship can only be filled through hope. Anything less is a glorified hypocrisy. Just won't help, just doesn't do. Romans chapter 5. First, beginning there at verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice and hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The mind does not need a better environment. It needs more hope by the Holy Ghost. Amen. No matter what we do in this world, it will not replace the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to have hope in his word, in his name, in his faithfulness. I have hope in God. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read there at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath forgotten us again, or begotten, excuse me, us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our lively hope is in Jesus Christ. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God Amen. We really are kept by His power. It's not my power. It's His. Amen. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We can rejoice greatly even through temptations, even through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Don't trust in your money. It's going to fail. Don't trust in your gold. It's not going to keep you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your faith is much more precious than gold. Amen. Though it be tried with fire. We talked about that in Elements today too. What's a fiery trial? Amen. Be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. I tell you, I can praise God even if I am in a trial. Even if I am sick in my body. Even if I got a broken car, if I got a hurt body, or if I ache somewhere, I can still praise God. Praise the Lord. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though ye have not heard, have ye, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. You just keep having hope in God. You just keep believing God, and the end is going to be okay. Read the back of the book. Amen. We win. Praise the Lord. Hope is often the only difference between success and failure. I am somewhat of a student. I look to the things of World War II quite frequently. From this, I found, you see, I have never been to Russia. I've certainly not been in a Siberian work camp. But I read this account of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Yep. Was born in Russia. He wrote his most famous historical pieces of literature in a Siberian work camp. What a terrible place to be put. He is referred to or called the conscience of Russia. Alexander was born on December the 11th, my birthday, but not 1918. He was born in 1918. Not quite that old yet. He graduated from Rostov University in 1941 with a double degree in mathematics and physics. He was inducted into the Russian Army on October the 18th, 1941. And 4 years later, he was twice decorated as an artillery officer. Then he was arrested. Criticism of Stalin was the charge. His sentence, 7 years hard labor in a Siberian work camp. The Gulag Archipelago is perhaps his most famous piece of literature. This book was written while he was serving time. Alexander would devise ingenious ways to write, and to preserve, and to ship underground his writings to the West. It, along with other works, won him a Nobel Prize later. The Gulag described the horrible Siberian work camps of which he was a part of. During the dictatorship of Stalin, tens of millions died in these places of forced labor. The hunger, deprivation, indescribable heat and cold actually strengthened his resolve to let the world know the truth. He wrote how thousands of people were worked to death in a single construction project. The camps brutally leveled all to a degraded mass of victims. A momentous event took place amid this environment. Alexander and his labor crew were hard at work in the sizzling heat of midday. His weakened, begot body began to shake. Mist and mirages clouded his eyes. He couldn't see clearly. He knew that if he fainted, that death by a bullet was sure. What was he going to do? His will to live was all but gone. He quit digging and he leaned on his shovel and stared into the dirt ahead of him. From the far end of the work crew came a rustle of the Soviet guard. Suddenly, the prisoner beside Alexander made a risky decision. It could have cost him his life. In a silent but quick motion, the fellow comrade drew the sign of the cross in the dust. He nudged Alexander, pointed to the cross, and rubbed it out again. It only lasted 5 seconds, but it was enough. Through the misty waves of heat, Alexander looked slowly, straightened his back, and took another grip of the shovel handle and somehow finished that day. It was that 5 second period. Hope turned the tide. He had hope he would make it. It was a major turning point in the life of this man. He would live to see fame and enormous power. He found hope in the cross and in Calvary. Hope not only makes the difference between success and failure, but also between life and death. Where there is no hope, there is no future. Where there is no hope, there is not even a right now. Paul, at his trial, told Felix, the governor, in Acts chapter 24. In fact, musicians, would you come? In Acts chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, it says, "But I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy," they were calling, preaching Jesus Christ, heresy, because it was against what other people were preaching. Guilty, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. Guilty, my hope is in God. Amen. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." I believe the Old Testament. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the coming Messiah. He is the mighty God. He is the Holy One. Praise the Lord. Verse number 15. "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." I have hope in God. Would you stand with me? It is recorded that Winston Churchill, the English bulldog, if you will, said his greatest weapon in World War II was hope.
Yes.
It's the greatest weapon we have today.
Yes, it is.
Is that we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in God. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone today is in need of a baptism of hope.
Yes.
Amen. You can lift up and have faith in God in your hope right now.
Yes. Right now.
It's time right now.
Jesus.
Would you lift your hands?
Hallelujah.
Would you start reaching for Jesus? Would you believe right now in Him? Would you have hope in God? Someone today is going away from this service with hope, with renewed, revived, and refreshed hope in God. Would you love Him? This altar is open. Would you pray? Magnify Him. Love the Lord.
There's not a problem so small that Jesus can't resolve. In time He'll get involved. Our God, He cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And He strength. Oh, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, wait on the Lord. And He'll renew your strength. There's not a mountain too tall. There's not a problem so small that Jesus can't resolve. In time He'll get involved. 'Cause our God, He cares about us. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, wait on the Lord. And He'll renew your strength. There's not a night too dark, a journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through. In time He'll make you new. Because our God cares about us. Oh, there's not a night too dark, a journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through. In time He'll make you new. 'Cause
our God, He cares about us. Oh, wait on the Lord. Yes, wait on the Lord. Yes, wait on the Lord. And He I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. And I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm not turning back now. Yes, I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Oh, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Oh, I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back.
I'm not turning back now.
Oh, I'm not turning back now. Oh, I'm not turning back now. Oh, wait on the Lord. Yes, wait. On the Lord, just wait on the Lord, and He'll renew your strength.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Help us to wait on you, Lamb of God. Yes, Lamb of God.
Praise the Lord. We're going to baptize Michael Smith in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Amen. God has been dealing with his life. And, you know, he came during the revival with Brother Rumpf. And he said, I've never felt like this before in church. And that's good. And so God's been dealing with him. And I just talked to him about what's going to happen when he's baptized. How that God is going to cast his sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That as far as the east is from the west, God will not see, know, or remember those sins ever again. And he has access to the blood of Jesus. Who, John chapter 2, pastor started in 1 John chapter 3. But it says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Little children, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. Amen. We need Jesus' blood to pay for and remit our sins. Every single one of us. Amen. But before I baptize him, I want to pray for him today. He's going to pray again a prayer of repentance. And we're going to ask God to bless his life. And have him be successful in his walk with God. Can you all stretch your hands towards the front here? Amen. As if you're praying for him right now. Jesus, Lord God, we ask you, God, to touch Michael Smith, Lord. Jesus, you're going to have your way in his life, Lord God. You've led him to this point, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done, God. Oh, Lord, in blessing his life, Lord God, and encouraging him, Lord Jesus. Lord, he's ready, oh God, to give his life to you, Lord Jesus. He's ready to be elevated, oh God, to the next step, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, let there be a blessing on his life, God. Let there be a blessing in his home, Lord Jesus. Let there be a blessing everywhere that he goes, oh God. Lord Jesus, make him your child, Lord God, today. Lord Jesus, help them be baptized in the water and by the Spirit, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
God will begin to fill your heart with words to say. And when he does, just speak them out. Okay? We're going to pray for you. We'll all be around and pray for you. And just let God have his way, okay? All right, ready? Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, right now, we thank you, Lord, for this baptism. We thank you for this commitment, Lord Jesus, for his life to be committed to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. We praise you, God. Have your hand upon him, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Michael Smith, upon the confession of your faith and the repentance of your sins, I'm going to baptize you now in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. In the name of Jesus.
Didn't go all the way under. So.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Up in. Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Michael, right before he got into the water, I said, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. And when he does, you're going to start speaking in tongues. Amen. And his tongue was just going crazy. Praise the Lord. As he came up out of the water, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. His life is changed. Hallelujah. Amen. God is using our young people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We love it. We rejoice. Amen. But I can only imagine what's going on in heaven right now. Amen. When one sinner repents, amen, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Amen. God is having a party right now in heaven because one more soul, amen, has been born again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we honor you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'll say a prayer of dismissal. Amen. And a blessing over all of our families saved by hope. Amen. He said, he told me before he was baptized, I'm ready to change, to have my life changed and give my life to God. I said, all right, I'll baptize you then. Amen. God is working. Praise the Lord. God is continuing to move. Amen. When you see Brother Michael, greet him, give him an encouraging word, amen. Encourage him to serve the Lord, amen. It just reminds me of so many times when I was a young person, how that the elderly, amen, and people my age, amen, I'm elderly now, I could feel it, would come and y'all are laughing, but what does that make you? I'm just joking. Amen. Oh, would tell me encouraging things. Would tell me to keep on. That would tell me the Lord would keep me. Amen. And so let's just adopt this young man into our family. Amen. This is the family of God. Amen. Say something encouraging to him. Give him like your best advice. Whatever you got to do. Amen. Encourage this young man. Jesus, right now, I'm asking you, Lord, to bless our families, Lord Jesus. Have your hand upon us, Lord God, as we go from this place. Lord, let your Spirit, God, be present with us. Lord, wherever we go, whatever we do, Lord Jesus, God, touch our young people at the junior camp this week, Lord. Have your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. Fill them with your Spirit over and over again. Lord, teach them, Lord God, who you are, oh Lord Jesus. Lord God, to give you praise and glory, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Touch us, Lord, and bless us, Lord, and have your way, God, within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.